Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Well, we had a great roundtable earlier. You can always use the Odyssey app. The rewind function is amazing. Go back to 3 o'clock in the show or check out the podcast this weekend on the YouTube or on the Odyssey app or where you find your podcast. We had a good conversation a couple hours ago. We have Brian Kilmeade coming up, kind of a rare Friday appearance, and he's out in the smoke zone in New York City in Manhattan. Of course, he has his show One Nation Sunday night on Fox, 9 p.m. Central. We'll get a preview of that and talk to Brian about the World Cup, too, because he is a huge fan. Actually, I wouldn't be shocked if he's going because he lives out there. A British Open update with Dan Reardon at the end of the hour. Some interesting names, a couple of names you won't even recognize at the top of the leaderboard. It's been an interesting day. 262s. On the course, so that was interesting, but that'll come up a little later. We have a huge race in St. Charles County for St. Charles County Executive coming up. Election Day in the primaries coming up very quickly, 2 weeks from Tuesday. A couple of days ago, I had Jason Law on. He's one of the candidates for the County Executive. Bill Igel, former state senator, he ran for governor as well, is obviously seeking this position as well. He's in the studio with us. Hello, Bill. How are you?
Mark, thanks for having me.
Always
a pleasure.
I like the T-shirt. You got the Igel for County Executive. Nice colors, nice scheme there. So that's looking pretty good. Is this thing something that you've wanted to do for a long time? Because, look, you had a very successful Senate term, I would say. I think you knocked some heads around there and were a rabble-rouser. You ran for governor. It was a strong race. Why this position? Let's start with that. Why St. Charles County Executive?
Well, I think the thing that attracts to me most about this position is that we've seen at all levels of government, the executive in our forms of government is being called upon to be a leader when it comes to government budgets, when it comes to government priorities, and it comes to really the scope of government and what government is going to do. So the opportunity to go from a legislative position like we had over in the state Senate to an executive position allows me the opportunity to, quite frankly, do a lot of the things that I was talking about as governor for the state. We can actually do those and implement them in a charter county like St. Charles County. So some of the issues are the same when we talk about personal property taxes.
And we'll get to that here in a couple of minutes.
We'll get to that. But a lot of the opportunity, the tone, the priorities, the initiative is set by the executive, and I feel like St. Charles County, where I've raised a family, I've run a business, my wife has grown up in St. Charles County. I feel like we're kind of on the edge of stagnation a little bit. So I think a lot of the ideas that I've been talking about already would be fantastic for the county that I've built a life in.
Has this gotten I think we should just bottom line it here for people who don't know. Steve Ellman, who's the incumbent, was not going to run for re-election,
right?
But he got back into the race because of you.
Yeah.
So is that whole thing personal between you two?
It's not personal for me. It's clearly personal for him. And I got to tell you, Mark, the idea that someone would ask for a sixth term from anybody for the only reason is that he doesn't like one of his opponents personally. That's a terrible reason to run. And I was surprised that Steve said that, but he said that publicly, repeatedly. And when we allow our personal vendettas to determine our activity and actions. I saw this all the time down in Jefferson City, and it hurt policy. So that's a terrible reason to run. He's been very upfront about that.
Well, so, I think it's maybe upfront about it, but he also doesn't like your policies, or he doesn't think that your policies could be implemented. That's certainly part of it, right?
Yeah,
I'm not going to deny it's personal for him. I think it is. But
I don't know which policy he doesn't like.
The vision, we can get into that. The vision I think he has for St. Charles County is certainly different for you than it is for him. But where do you think, when you talk about stagnation, I hear from people, I mentioned this the other day with Jason. I certainly have a point of reference when it comes to St. Charles because I moved here in 1979 and, there wasn't a whole lot out there. I had this friend that worked at a video store and that was like my only foray unless I was going to Mizzou through St. Charles County. But it is just been
transformed. Did you say you moved to St. Charles in 1979?
No, I moved to St. Louis County in 1979.
St. Louis County, okay.
And I had this friend that, we were in Baldwin, so, 141 and 40, if you will, but he worked, I can't even remember where it was, but there was like this little strip mall with the video store and not a whole lot, a lot of farmland out there. It has exploded. bloated. It's a beautiful part, certainly, of our area, and that's where people seem to want to live. But when you say stagnation, get specific. What are you talking about there?
Well, let's talk about population, first of all. For many years, St. Charles County led the state in terms of population growth. I talked about that at length in many opportunities that I've had. But we've actually seen St. Charles County start to slip down the rankings. We used to be number one in the state. Now we're 17th out of 116 counties. So it started to taper off. Just like it
you
tapered
mean with growth, that's
with
the ring?
Population growth.
With population growth, okay.
Just like we saw in St. Louis County. So St. Louis County, of course, led growth in the state of Missouri for many years, and then it began to taper off as we saw really the bureaucracy, the government, the tax burden, and all these things kind of build up and slow that growth and kind of restrict the economic opportunity as population started to move further outward. In the short term, a place like St. Charles was naturally the place that growth was going to go. But now we're kind of topping out similar to St. Louis County.
But do you not, I mean, because I thought some of the complaints from you and even Jason and some other people who don't like Steve is that the growth has been too explosive. Or are you just talking about certain types of growth?
So in an overall growth perspective, we've seen it reach a top. We've seen it plateau. And I suspect it's going to continue to follow the model of what's happened in St. Louis County. It's going to start coming down. So what I'm proposing is addressing what I think are the two biggest issues in St. Charles County now that I have made the argument that Steve Ellman is not addressing from the highest elected position in county office. One was the property tax burden. I know we're going to get into that. And two is this rampant growth of multifamily urbanization that we've seen with all the apartment complexes out there. And it's the conversation about apartment complexes is not one just because people inherently don't like apartment complexes. That's not what's going on here. What happens is if you overbuild the density of an area, so you put too many apartment complexes in St. Charles County, regardless if it's in a city limits or not, what happens is the amount of revenue that comes in from those apartments isn't enough to actually support individually the cost that we associate if that apartment has a child living in there and it is going to our schools. So if you overbuild, the tax burden starts to get shared primarily by single family homeowners or businesses. But in St. Charles County, we've done so much residential growth that really the single family homeowners out there are really feeling that
burden. But what do you have? Because I think what Steve's told me in the past is that, look, there are obviously the county is the county, but there's all the cities that are in the county. And those are the ones, the municipalities are the ones that are making the calls on the apartments, aren't they?
Well, so and actually you encapsulated that very well. If you ask Steve, if he were here right now, he would say, oh, that's not a county problem. That's the city's problem.
Well,
the cities have been the ones that are approving all the apartment. Well, that's fantastic. Here's what I would do. One, I would pass a moratorium in the unincorporated areas of St. Charles County that the county does control. Because I've made such an issue out of this, last week or 2 weeks ago, the county council actually passed a small moratorium. Now, it was only for 6 months, which only gets us to election day. So I'd like to see it a lot longer than that, but that'd be the first step. The second step, as the cities were annexing more and more unincorporated St. Charles County ground, where was the county pushing back on that? Where was the county working with the state so they could push back on all these cities who were annexing the ground and then putting a bunch of apartments on it? Then where has the county been in determining density requirements and density levels that the cities ought to follow? For example, we've come out with a master plan. We come out with a master plan for the county every 5 years. The county puts that out. The new master plan that is under draft right now has identified almost 100 new square miles of ground in St. Charles County, unincorporated St. Charles County, that would have the ability to build apartment complexes on there. So whether it's, I've never made the case that the county has approved directly more apartments than the cities, of course not. But I have made the case that Steve Ellman has been very absent on this issue. Instead of being proactive as the highest elected office holder in St. Charles County, he's let the cities basically run roughshod and put up all these apartment complexes. I would, if I were the county executive, not only would I help develop those density standards, but then I would start to leverage those cities to follow those density standards by withholding some of their road boards. You, Mark, you know as well as I do, the best way to get a jurisdiction underneath you to follow your lead is to start leveraging the money. Well, there's a lot of money that goes to those cities through the county, and if they want to continue to participate in all of those dollars that are good things, they're helping for road boards, then I think they need to play ball with the county on some of these density requirements and guidelines.
Bill Igles here, former state senator. He's running for St. Charles County Executive. Let's get into the property taxes. There's nothing that annoys me more, and I think most of the people listening right now, personal property taxes drive us crazy. Property taxes and personal property. When I moved back here to St. Louis in 2006, I couldn't believe, because I think I had kind of forgotten how the whole process worked. And then even with these license offices, which are contractual, they're not run by the state, the whole thing is goofy, right? So I think most people are going to say, yeah, let's try to get rid of that. But what are you doing? Because what they're saying is, what your opponents will say is that you're promising to cut personal property taxes,
right,
but you're just shifting the burden. So what is your plan?
Okay, so here's what I put. Right now, the county budget, which is separate from almost all of the entities that actually get personal property tax, the county budget is about $600 million a year. Since 2009, when Steve Ellman took over, it's grown by 400%. So in 2009, the county budget was about $137 million. Now it's about $606 million. That's way ahead of the rate of growth, way ahead of the rate of inflation. So I'm making the case that Steve has been growing the county government way beyond what was appropriate and way beyond what was what is now dipping into wasteful. The amount of personal property tax that is collected for all the taxing districts, whether it's
school districts,
fire right, ambulance boards, in total is about $120 million a year. So I'm making the case that if we go into that county budget and we can find $120 million of savings out of a $600 million budget, we can effectively pay off the personal property tax bills of the citizens that would otherwise have to pay them on December 1st. So the question becomes, where am I going to find $120 million in savings for, right? Because if we can, then all we have to do is have the county council pass an appropriation to the county collector on behalf of the taxpayers and have them pay off their bills. Having a third party pay off your personal property tax bills, by the way, Steve says this is unconstitutional, but having a third party pay off your property tax bills happens every day because your mortgage company already sends a payment on your behalf to the county collector to pay off your real estate bill. So this is actually a very normal thing. But the question becomes, where are we going to find $120 million? Okay, well, I've made the case that the executive, Steve Ellman, has gotten us into kind of a series of money pits. The family arena, which is losing millions of dollars a year, requiring tens of millions of dollars a year in capital upgrades. The courthouse annex, which is the same story over and over. We've seen a huge explosion in some of our biggest departments. For example, the Parks and Recreation budget has tripled over the past 3 years, even though the actual foot traffic at our parks and our recreation facilities have dropped over the same period. So I think we could go into that budget, taking a page out of the Doge book, and if we can find just 5 to 10% savings in our county government, which has grown by 400% over the past 20 years, we can get rid of personal property tax.
So then I'm just going to tell you what they tell me, and you tell me what your reaction is, that you're not actually ending the tax, that you are having St. Charles government, as you said, pay everyone's personal property tax bills, but the taxpayers would still pay. How would it, if I'm in St. Charles and I'm paying personal property tax, how would your plan work and not have me pay as much money in personal property tax?
So
I'm confused by that.
It's kind of similar to, you know how every now and then the federal government, a couple of years ago, the state government came out with this idea that they were going to write everybody a check for $1,000. Or $500.
Yeah, yeah.
That's basically, in a way, that's kind of what we're doing. I'm going into the county budget and finding an amount of savings equal to what everyone pays in personal property tax, and then basically showing that as a credit on their bills when they come out on December 1st. Steve Ellman is actually correct in the sense that you can't eliminate it directly. However, the idea that we can't do anything, which is really his, you know, if he were here, he would say, there's nothing the county can do. The county's done everything it possibly can do. It isn't true at all. We could absolutely find savings in the bloated government that he's created. We've never had more money at the county. I want to take a portion of that money that is going to things that I believe are waste and give that back to the taxpayer to make their everyday household budgets more affordable.
Let me go back to some budget numbers.
Okay.
We talked about a $606 million county budget, right? Mm-hmm. The revenue is $381.7 million is what I'm told, okay? The unrestricted general fund is only about $104.9 million. So what they say is that the $276 that's kind of remained is for specific items like parks, road and bridge, stuff along those lines. Is that true or is that not true in your opinion?
So I think that those folks giving you that are trying to get into the weeds. All of that is money that is spent and appropriated through St. Charles County. Actually, some of it actually does come to the state. And I've heard my opponents say, well, you know, that's money that we're getting from the federal government that are COVID dollars. Somehow the budget keeps getting bigger every single year. And you know what? Maybe instead of finding $120 million of savings like I'm proposing, maybe we only find $100 million. Maybe we only find $60 million. But you know what? I'm the only candidate in this race that's even going to go out there and try to find some savings so that we can bring down the personal property tax and property tax burdens. The reality is, the bottom number is, the budget in 2009 was $137 million. That is coming straight from the county financial audits of 2009. Today, we're spending over $600 million of money that's coming from the taxpayers in our county. I want to put a stop to that. I'm the only one with a plan that's going to actually reduce this tax burden. And really, Steve's only answer to that is to say there's nothing else the county can do.
Well, when you talk about those numbers, and I'm a small government guy, so mm-hmm. I hate it when I see numbers balloon like that. But mm-hmm. but where is, I know you pointed out a couple of things, where is there bloat that would add up to that amount? Is there something specific, or just going to have to go across the board?
Let's take the Parks and Recreation budget. So I gave you kind of, I think a third of the equation is in the so-called money pits that Steve Ellman has got us into. And like I said, the family arena, the courthouse, and
every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a few other things on that list. I also think that take a look at our Parks and Recreation budget. And I know people love Parks and Recreation, but over the past 3 years, our Parks and Recreation budget has tripled. It has tripled because we passed a use tax a couple years ago that was promised to go into Parks and Recs. Even though we've tripled the budget from $20 million to $60 million a year, the foot traffic at our parks has actually gone down from 2022 to 2024. That's from the county's own numbers. So it tells me, when I started looking into it, that, hey, maybe we've got a little bit of waste here. And sure enough—
You think the numbers are out of whack because of that. Yeah.
And sure enough, what I found was now we're putting more and more things under the Parks Department so that they can directly spend it under the idea and the guise of Parks and Recreation. So if we instead had a county executive who is looking at all of this extra money, this record amount of money, saying, how can we get this back in the hands of our taxpayers that desperately need it right now so they can have a break from property taxes, have a break from personal property taxes, we would be living in an entirely different world. And if I'm successful, the upside here is if I'm successful getting rid of personal property tax in St. Charles, guess what just became the number one destination for all sorts of growth in the state of the Missouri for the near term and I think the long term to come.
Bill Igel is here. I asked Jason Law to ask you guys some questions. You can ask Steve and Jason a question here in a second that I can play to them. But here's Jason's question from the other day.
You've ran 11 years on cutting personal property tax and never came close. And what are you going to do? And how are you going to change that into the future? In this race, how are you going to do it in 12 months like you've been quoted at saying?
So we've covered this a little bit, but he's saying you've been trying this, you've been talking about it for a while, which you have, right?
So let me answer that directly. Actually, believe it or not, in 2021, I actually got a bill to Governor Parson's desk that would have eliminated reducing the assessment rate for personal property tax in St. Charles County to zero. It got it to Governor Parson's desk, and he vetoed it. So I think Jason is incorrect when he says I haven't come close. I've come very close, but unfortunately, when the governor vetoes that, we weren't able to override his veto because, you know, that's kind of frowned upon. So we actually have come close. And actually, the failure to convince more bureaucrats and politicians should not be intermingled with the desire of the people that live in our areas to actually say we desperately need our leadership to come up with a plan to reduce the property tax burden. Mark, you know very well that the process of legislating, of getting things moved through the process, can be very frustrating. And even though I'm known as a guy that stopped legislation when we passed House Bill 2540, which I was the primary Senate sponsor on, which was the largest single year tax cut in state history. I passed Senate Bill 26, which was the Police Officers Bill of Rights. So I think I've got a record where we can get things done that are conservative, but at the same time, we can start saying no to the things that really don't fit within our conservative mindset.
So there's a sense about you that if you win this race, that what Bill Igel is really interested in is really running for governor, that you'd be running a campaign against, you know, Mike Kehoe right away. So what would you say about that? Are you going, if you win this race, will you stay in the race for 4 years or stay in the position?
Absolutely. I'm going to be in the St. Charles County Executive's office for 4 years. That is my commitment to the people that have always supported me. And actually, as you know, I think that's put out by some of my opponents actually put that out in a way that I don't think they realize it, but they're kind of complimenting me.
Well, because you're ambitious. You run for governor. I don't think it's that far of a stretch to say, okay, what's Bill angling for here in the end?
What a fantastic opportunity it would be to say a lot of the things that, you're right, I was talking about in the governor's race, we could do in a county as awesome as St. Charles County. I feel like I'm the only one proposing ideas about how to get rid of personal property tax or how to get rid of how to slow down the apartments, whereas my opponents have really just taken a track of we can't do that, we shouldn't do that. We've seen in the past week, I'm sure you've seen this, a series of personal attacks coming against me, which it's a reminder to me that we're in the midst of campaigns.
I actually haven't seen that. Are those in ads, you mean?
We actually have a PAC here in St. Louis City that's actually run by Democrats that have been putting out mailers against me. We have the Democrats in St. Charles County calling for folks to pull a Republican ballot and vote for Steve because
these things happen.
These things do happen. This is why one day we need to have a conversation about closed primaries, but it tells me that when it comes to the conversation and the interaction about ideas, we're winning that going away. So now we're seeing the race kind of turn a little bit and they're coming back at me with personal attacks. Steve's made this a very personal issue for him because he doesn't like me personally. And you know, I'm used to not being liked by a lot of politicians.
you know that. That's not breaking news.
I don't work for that. But go ahead.
I'm going to have Steve in on Tuesday. All right. Uh-huh. And we can flip this and he can ask you a question. We can get you back on too, because this is an important race. But I'll play the audio like I did with Jason. What would you ask either one of those guys? And you choose the question and I'll play that.
What idea does Steve Ellman have to reduce the overall personal and property tax burdens in St. Charles County? Not just the county portion, which he's going to try to escape on, but the overall in total property tax burden for the people in St. Charles. I've been asking that question because he keeps agreeing with me that taxes are a problem, that there's too many apartments. But I'd like to hear him actually have an idea of how he can actually affect that as the highest elected official in the county.
Anything for Jason?
I think Jason is a nice guy. I've had some really good conversations with Jason. I think he's copying a lot of my talking points right now. So I really don't have any questions for him.
It seems to be a two-person race for the most part. Yeah, Jason's problem is, and nobody knows who he is, really. I mean, you're established. Steve's established. Thinks he's up against it because of that. Seems like a solid guy. I like his credentials.
Our internal polling right now has us up by a few points on Steve. We're in the high 30s. Steve is in the mid 30s. Jason is not yet at 10%.
It's going to be close, though, isn't it?
So I think it's going to be close. Yeah. But, you know, and that's okay. I have been, my very first race that I ran in the Senate, it was, I've defeated Ann Zare. There was 24,000.
What year was that?
That was 2016.
Okay.
We had 24,000 votes cast. I won by 400 votes. So I'm not afraid of close votes. And by the way,
That tells you that votes count. Every vote counts.
Actually, here's a question you can ask Jay. Actually, you know what? I think you're right. I think you're right that
two-person race.
It's a two-person race. Okay. I think folks are going to choose between the ideas I've got on the table or kind of the status quo that Steve.
All right, Steve's in Tuesday. So if you have any other questions, let me know. Thanks, Bill. Good to see you. Good luck. I mean, this is going to be interesting to watch in a couple weeks. Can you believe it's only 2 weeks away though?
I can't believe it, but I'm happy about it.
All right, we'll see you soon. Thank you.
Get more at 971talk.com.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.